Invite your attention to Psalm 67. Psalm 67. Several weeks ago, Josh asked me to preach, and I had just read this psalm and had been thinking about the message, and I took that as being from the Lord in light of the fact that this has been Missions Month, and I think it'll probably make sense as we get through to it. I hope it does. I hate to preach and people say, what did he say? What was he talking about? I hope it's not like that. But I've entitled the message this morning, A Meditation on the Relationship Between Magnifying and Missions. Between magnifying and missions. Between worship and praise and missions. And this psalm, as I believe we're going to see, makes that connection. And I think it will be helpful for us to think about it. So let me go ahead and read this. Psalm 67. To the choir master with stringed instruments, a psalm, a song. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us. Selah. That your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the people praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon the earth. Selah. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. Let's pray, shall we? Our Father in heaven, we thank you that we have sensed in this place this morning your manifested presence. Our hearts have felt the warmth of your love in this place. I pray today as we open your word and as we kind of walk through this psalm together, that, Lord, you will help me to make it clear. And I pray that it will impact us. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to see truly the relationship between magnifying and missions this morning. Lord, I pray for Shelby today that, God, you'll continue to heal her, touch her, raise her up. I pray for the whole family, Lord, that you'll make your presence real to them in all of this. Be with our pastor today. I pray that you'll refresh him. I pray, Lord, when he comes back, he'll come back with renewed joy and passion. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. This psalm is a progressive, prayerful song. In the heading, we see this statement to the choir master, and I love it, with stringed instruments. I love stringed instruments, don't you? I thank God for stringed instruments, from guitars to bass guitars to ukuleles to pianos. Sorry, drummer. No, I thank God for drums too. I thank God for instruments. But you'll notice it is addressed to the choir master. It says it's a psalm, a song. And I find it interesting that the choir master is not named. We don't know who it is. I like what Spurgeon said about that. He said, who he was matters not. And who we may be is also of small consequence so long as the Lord is glorified. Isn't that good? By way of introduction, I want you to notice with me how this psalm progresses. And then for the message this morning, we're going to go back and unpack the progression. Notice that it begins with a petition. And here's the petition. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us. Selah. You see the petition there? And then it progresses to the purpose of the petition. In other words, in verse 2, we see why the psalmist wants God to be gracious and bless us. In verse 2, it says, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. And then the progression continues to a passionate prayer for the global praise of the living God. He says in verses 3 and also verse 5, the exact same words, let the peoples praise you, O God. When you see the word O there, that little one-letter word O, it only serves one purpose, and that is to express passion and emotion. And so he says, let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. We just sang that, didn't we? In that song, let the nations be glad. Same thing in verse 5. And then the psalmist gives us the reason he wants all the people to praise God. It is so that in praising God, they can find their pleasure in God. Verse 4. Let the nations be what? Glad. That expresses pleasure. And sing for what? Joy. There's pleasure in verse 4. And then the psalm ends with the assurance that God is going to answer the prayer that it began with, and one final petition in verse 7. God shall bless us. Let all the nations of the earth fear him. So that is the progression of this psalm. Now let's go back and unpack it, shall we? The first one is this, the petition. Let's look at it one more time. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, Selah. I find it interesting that this petition in verse 1 is a reflection of the priestly blessing commanded by God in Numbers 6, verses 22 through 27. Allow me to read that for you. It says, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, thus shall you bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So shall they put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them. So what is this prayer actually? It is a prayer that God would be kind to us. It's a prayer that God would fill us with his benefits and that he would be pleased with us. That's what we're praying for. That's what the petition is. I like what Mr. Spurgeon said. He said, when we bless God, we do but little. For our blessings are but words. But when God blesses, he enriches us indeed. For his blessings are gifts and deeds. I want you to notice that this is a corporate prayer. It doesn't say, may God bless me. May God be gracious to me. May God make his face to shine upon me. He says, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us. It is a corporate prayer. Well, who is the us in the verse? Well, in context, it's the nation of Israel. But in reality, the us in the verse is the people of God. It's us, God's people. It is a prayer that has been answered in Christ. As I was looking through this couple of verses came to my mind. One was Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. This petition has been answered in Christ. Another verse that bears that out is Romans 8:32 that says, he who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? This petition has been answered in Christ. God has been gracious to us, and he has blessed us, and he's made his face to shine upon us. Allow me to make a little broader application. I would just remind us this morning that as a nation, God has blessed us. Amen. He has blessed us. He's been gracious to us. He's made his face shine upon us. Oh my goodness. I could preach the rest of the day on how God has blessed us as a nation. And you know what's sad to me? I'm afraid most Americans don't realize how much God has blessed us as a nation. The very fact that we can meet openly here without fear of persecution, without fear of invasion, is such a great blessing and a manifestation of the grace and the mercy of God. Oh, we're so blessed as a nation. We're blessed with freedom. As a nation, we're blessed with finances, aren't we? The average annual per capita income outside of the United States, this annual income is $10,734. Is there anybody here who would like to try to live on $10,734 for the entire year? I dare say there might be some people sitting here today that's your monthly income. Oh, we've been so blessed as a nation financially. Listen, I know all of the problems. I spend too much time watching the news. You can pray for me about that. I know all of the problems in America, but I'm telling you, America has been blessed by God. The us. And as Christians, we have been blessed by God. Our sins are forgiven. We have a relationship with the living God who has taken up residence in our being and with whom we're going to live for all of eternity. I tell you, God has been gracious to us and blessed us and made his face to shine upon us. Then I would make a third application this morning. As a church, we have been so blessed. So blessed. Oh, when I walked in here this morning and greeted people, and people greeted me, and I heard the singing, and there was such, in my heart, there was such a sense of the presence of God here. Folks, there are churches all across the country this morning that don't have that. But God has blessed us with it. God has blessed us with good, competent leadership. God has blessed us with a pastor. And I'm just going to tell you right now, and I've said this, I don't say it to him because I don't want him to get the big head, but I could tell you this. I've never been pastored better than I've been pastored since I came to this church. I've never enjoyed preaching like I enjoy the preaching and the teaching that's done in this church. I am so grateful. Meadowview Baptist, God has blessed us. He's made his face to shine upon us. He's been gracious to us. I don't know if you were able to make it here on Wednesday night. Holly and I were able to come, and I tell you, when I walked out of here, all I could think of, what a wonderful church God has given to us as people gathered together and cried out to God for our sister and the family that she's in the chambers, and we prayed. And I'm going to tell you something. I know God heard our prayers. I know he did. Better of you. God has blessed us. He's been gracious to us. He has made his face to shine upon us. That's not something to be proud of. That's something to be humbly thankful for. That's the petition. Let's move secondly to the purpose of the petition. Why does the psalm want God to, the psalmist, why does the psalmist want God to be gracious and bless and make his face shine upon us? Why does he pray for that? What is the purpose of that petition? Verse 2, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power to all nations. May I say to you, this presupposes that the blessings for which verse 1 petitions are going to be used in such a way that the purpose of verse 2 is accomplished. Did you get that? That might seem a little bit awkward. Can I read it one more time? This presupposes that the blessings for which verse 1 petitions are going to be used in such a way that the purpose of verse 2 is accomplished. In other words, it presupposes that God being gracious to us, God blessing us and making his face shine upon us, that we're going to take those blessings and we're going to use them in such a way that his way and his salvation is going to be made known throughout all the world. That's what the progression is. You know, preparing for this has put me under such conviction. I fear that I am too selfish in the consumption of God's blessings in my life. I'm probably the only one here like that, so just pray for me. And oh, God spoke to my heart about using more of what he's given to me in such a way that I can contribute, that his way may be known on earth and his saving power among all nations. Isn't that what our Missions Month has been about? Now, there's two things that we see in this psalm that he wants to be made known among the nation. First of all, notice your way. What does he mean when he says that your way may be known on earth? I would suggest that what he's saying is he's talking about the way God is, so that the way God is might be known among all the nations. It's the way God is, and it's what he does. It's his glory. It's his name. It's his reputation. How are we using our blessings in such a way that the glory of God is being declared to the nations? Reminds me of Psalm 96, verse 3, which says, "Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples," the nations. And by the way, can I tell you something? This just came to my mind. We normally think about sending people to the nations to declare the glory of God to the nations, to declare the way that God is to the nation. We think about sending missionaries, and that is certainly appropriate. But you know what God's been doing lately? Oh, I got to stay behind here. God has been bringing the nations to America. Folks, we can declare the glory of God to the nations, and in many cases, not even leave our home area. How are we using the blessings that he gave us in verse 1 to accomplish the purpose in verse 2? Well, what ways? Now, in this psalm, there are two different ways that are declared. The first one is the way that he deals with nations. He wants us to declare among the nations the way he deals with nations. Look at verse 4, this phrase, "For you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon the earth." God is the one who is going to see to it that justice is carried out on earth, because that's the way he is. God is the one who is guiding the nations on earth. It's not Buddha. It's not Muhammad. It's not some false god in the Orient. It is the God of God, the King of Kings, who is having his way on earth. And that truth needs to be declared among the nations. The way that he deals with nations. A second way that we see in this psalm that is to be declared is the way that he provides for his creatures. I see that in this phrase in verse 6. "The earth has yielded its increase." What is that talking about? That's talking about the fact that when farmers plant their crops, the crops come up, they're harvested, and they feed men and animals, and God is meeting the need of his creatures. And by the way, I don't know how many of you know this, but I've been on a vegetarian diet for the last several months. The only thing I really eat a lot of is vegetarians. Yeah. The way he provides for his creatures, the earth has yielded its increase. And then there's a second thing that's declared, not only his way, but his saving power. The King James puts "your saving health." One translation puts it this way, your salvation, that your saving health, your salvation, it's talking about his gospel, his saving way. God is a savior. And that implies that men all over the earth need a savior. And we are to use the blessings that come as a result of the petition in verse 1 in such a way that the nations come to know the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and that God is a savior. Let me give you another quote by Mr. Spurgeon. He said, "This all nations need, but many of them do not know it, desire it, or seek it. Our prayer and labor should be that the knowledge of salvation may become as universal as the light of the sun." Folks, we should use our blessings in such a way that the knowledge of the gospel becomes ubiquitous to every nation. That's what verse 2 is telling us is the purpose of the blessings in verse 1. This psalm continues to progress to the third part of it. And that is a passionate prayer for global praise. A passionate prayer for global praise. Verses 3 and verse 5 say the exact same thing. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. This word praise means to revere or worship with extended hands. To revere or worship with extended hands. We've experienced worship here this morning, haven't we? We've experienced praising God here this morning. We have magnified God in this place this morning with stringed instruments, I might add. We've worshiped. Let me repeat this to you. Why do we want God to be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us? Answer, so that we can use his blessing in such a way that all nations may come to know his ways and his salvation. Well, why do we want them to know his way and his salvation? So that they will come to praise him. So that when we are declaring to them how our God is, who our God is, the glory of our God, the gospel of our God, that they will raise their hands in worship to the one true God through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the progression. Oh, you know, I tell you, there's so much here. I was thinking, one of the things this means is that we need to be doing everything we can to get this book in as many languages as we can because this is what testifies of the glory and the ways in the gospel of God. And my mind went back to that video that we saw. I think it was the first Sunday. That video that we saw of those people getting their copies of the Word of God in their language and the joy and the worship that we saw them experiencing. That's this psalm coming to life. John Piper has been a great blessing to me. He has taken my mind down roads that it had not been before on. You ever have somebody do that for you? He wrote a book, Let the Nations Be Glad. I told Josh when I was preparing for this, I said, I'm going to be reading Let the Nations Be Glad. And so that's one of the resources that I read in preparation for this message because he really puts this in great perspective. Listen to what he says. He says, missions is not the ultimate goal of the church. Worship is. Missions exist because worship doesn't. Worship is ultimate, not missions. Because God is ultimate, not man. When this age is over and the countless millions of the redeemed fall on their faces before the throne of God, missions will be no more. It is a temporary necessity, but worship abides forever. End quote. I wish I'd said that. So there's a passionate prayer for global praise. And then number four, in the progression, in order that the nations may take pleasure in God. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. Glad, joy. Doesn't that communicate pleasure? When God's way is known on the earth and his saving power is made known among the nations, they will come to praise. That is, they will come to worship God with hands extended, and they will experience the joy and the pleasure of worshiping the glorious God that transcends all earthly pleasures. Another quote by Spurgeon. When men know God's way and see his salvation, it brings to their hearts much happiness. Nothing creates gladness so speedily, surely, and abidingly as the salvation of God. End quote. Another quote by Piper. He says this, worship, therefore, is the fuel and the goal of missions. It's the goal of missions because in missions we simply aim to bring the nations into white, hot enjoyment of God's glory. The goal of missions is the gladness of the people and the greatness of God. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the coastlands be glad, Psalm 97:1. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, verses 3 and 4. But he goes on to say, worship is also the fuel of missions. Passion for God in worship precedes the offer of God in preaching. Listen, you can't commend what you don't cherish. Missionaries will never call out, let the nations be glad, if they cannot say from the heart, I rejoice in the Lord. I will be glad and exult in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. So missions begins and ends in worship. That is the relationship between magnification and missions. You know, as we sit here worshiping or stand here worshiping and we extend our hands in worship to the great God, the only God of the universe, there ought to be a pleasure that overtakes our heart that is desirous to share with other people. Babe, don't you want people to experience the pleasure of worship that you experience in this place today? And not just people in Republic and not just people in Missouri, but the nations around the world. That is the fuel for worship. Let me give you this phrase. Savoring the glory of God in worship precedes spreading it in missions. Savoring the glory of God in worship precedes spreading it in missions. You know what I'm excited about? There's coming a time when a people from all the nations of the earth are going to know the exquisite pleasure of lifting their hands in worship and adoration of the one true God in one numberless throng. Revelation 7, 9 through 12 says this. Can you put that on the screen, please? After this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever." That's where it's all going to end up. The prayer of Psalm 67 is going to be answered. People are going to sing, "Behold our God, seated on his throne." Let's stand and sing that, shall we?
Tremble.
this psalm ends with the assurance that God is going to answer the petition with which it began. And then it gives one final petition for the nations. Notice it says, God shall bless us. Guess what? Christian, there are more blessings to come. Guess what, Meadowview? There are more blessings to come. God shall bless us. And then, the final petition. Let all of the ends of the earth fear him. That's not fear like fearing a monster. The idea is, let all the ends of the earth come to revere him. Let all the ends of the earth come to honor him. Let all of the ends of the earth come to be in awe of him. What a final petition. Revere him. Honor him. Be in awe of him. On your bulletin, there are some questions for meditation and application.